persistence, perspective, priorities. Persistence, perspective, priority, purposefulness. Let me take you back to the beginning. I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska. And at birth, my mother named me Curtis Anthony. Then my daddy gets there, who was a tremendous fan of the Chicago Bears, an avid fan of the Chicago Bears. And some of you would say, wait, I look on that screen and I see Gail Nelson. And you just said Curtis Anthony. So is someone looking for you? Do you have aliases? Well, I do have an alias. It was Curtis Anthony. But my daddy named me Gail Sayers Nelson. Our firstborn child was born in 1998, Miami, Florida. I named him. Well, there was no question what he would be named, but I named him Gail Sayers Nelson II. So you could say that sports is in my DNA. And as we think about just the reality of sports and the term fan, and I'm sure there are a few sports fans in Tennessee, Dan. I was about to wear orange today as well. But there's sports fans. You know, the term fan is short for fanatic. You know, fanatic speaks to someone who is zealous, passionate, energetic about a cause. Imagine being zealous, energetic, and passionate about a cause, brother. Now, I have to say, I have seen parks full of parents, a lot of dads on football fields and baseball fields, and oftentimes vicariously living out their sports dreams through their kids. How do you know that? Because when the child just wants to play around in the grass and dad's like, get up there and get in a three-point stance and, you know, paint your face. And maybe you've seen that. Maybe that's one of you. I've seen the mamas yelling and screaming and being competitive because their babies weren't treated well on the field. I've been one of those coaches who got yelled at. Quite frankly, I've seen parents, I won a game, I remember vividly, Miramar West, Pee Wee football. We win the game by 24 points, and there's a line of parents to talk to me. My child got 13 minutes. True story, my child got 13 minutes in the last game, only got 10 minutes this game. We just won by 24 points. You're welcome. Truth be told, I've been that dad. I've been that coach that raised my voice at a referee. Are you blind? That's a foul, clearly. Maybe not the most fertile ground for a Bible study, brethren. So the sheer level of energy that's put into sports is palpable. The zeal, the passion, the energy that's put into sports. And I got to just tell you, brethren, because some of us may need to be reminded of this, no matter how much paraphernalia you put on, you may paint your face, you may put the Tostitos in the middle and the guac at 45 degrees and the salsa at 45 degrees, you cannot change the outcome of the contest. Amen, Walls and Lights. But let's give you some perspective. Imagine if we put that kind of energy, that passion, that zeal for the cause of Christ. Just imagine. We're not on time for the game. We're there 2 hours before the game. Imagine if brothers were just in, literally, let's tailgate before Bible study. We're just going to get the grill out and just be ready for Bible study. Isn't that what happens at your congregation? I'm not condemning sports and recreation. I love sports. And there's value in exercise. Some of you people talk about working out religiously. Every day, every morning, 7 a.m., I'm there. Wish you were there for Bible study, brother. I'm not condemning sports. There's value in sports. Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at about verse number 8. Paul lets him know that there's some value in sports. For bodily exercise, profits little. There's some value, there's profit in exercise. But I want to encourage us today to be spiritually and physically fit. For bodily exercise profit little, but he goes on because there's a comparative here. But godliness, there's value in exercise, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There's an eternal benefit of being in spiritual shape. I remember going to Alabama, visiting Alabama, and when I got there, I was there to speak, and they said, "Are you Roll Tide or War Eagle?" I said, "I'm Brother Gale Nelson." That was my first visit to Alabama. I didn't know that there were sinners and saints. Let me move on. And I guess it just depends on the time. But when Paul told Timothy, "These things command and teach," that there is an eternal benefit to being spiritually in shape. Let's take it one step further. We talk about priorities. We each of us needs to ask ourselves, what is most important to me? What is most important to me? Sports teams compete, they fight, they claw to win a prize. Paul addressed priorities in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter, beginning at verse number 6, concerning zeal. That boiling, that intensity concerning zeal. He persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He stood up for something he believed in at the expense, at the cost of the lives of saints. So who better to talk about this? You want to talk about zeal? You want to look at my resume? Paul let him know. But he goes on to say, but verse 7, Philippians 3 and 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What are we willing to lower on the priority list for Christ? What are we willing to adjust for Christ? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What are we willing to adjust, brethren? I love what Paul says. He gets into some intensity. Talk about intensity. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, rubbish, trash, waste. What's it really all about? The Master Jesus, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? So is it that important? You can't miss one practice. We're talking practice. I did something there. But Paul goes on to say in Philippians 3 and 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let's pivot. Faith, belief, trust, reliance, confidence, dependence. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a few sports teams that I like. And if I put my total faith that they would win the Super Bowl, every year I go through the same routine. My kids are like, "I've never seen your team win anything." I said, "Go to your room." My point is, where do we place our trust, our belief, our dependence, our confidence, our assurance? We sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Brothers, I just want to encourage you today and we have to be intentional. See, that word intentional means to be purposeful. That word intentional means to be deliberate. That word intentional means you don't do this by accident. You just don't happen to be in a parking lot on Sunday morning at 8:45. You have to be intentional. You prepare beforehand. So trusting God more than sports and recreation, take that same energy and let's put it to use for the cause of Christ. Take that same energy and let's evangelize and let folks know that, you know, we're on the winning team. Faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, you know the verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We may be the only Christ someone sees. If you're that cussing coach, kind of hard to invite somebody to Bible study. If you're working out religiously, but yet you can't come to Bible study, kind of hard to tell your kids, get up and go to Bible study. Diligence, So not only are we talking about being purposeful, not only are we talking about a perspective, not condemning sports, but giving it the putting it in its proper place, putting everything in its proper place for Christ. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith, without that trust, belief, reliance, confidence, dependence, assurance in God. But without faith, it is impossible. Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them. Here's that adverb. Here's the adverb, how you do something. You ever seen a teenager walk somewhere? From point A to point B, it may take them 30 minutes. I call it the cool walk. Hurry up. I am. It's like Droopy in the cartoons back in the day. I'm happy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We need to have some, put some intensity, some energy, some zeal into the work of God. And now more than ever, men, our boys need to see it. Future husbands. Because guess what? The consequence of that, what about, where's our future elders and deacons coming from? Can't have that without a good husband. So the ripple effect of that. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently, I didn't forget, diligently seek him. Let's be more diligent about being on God's team. Be more diligent about doing his will. Now let me take you back to where I started. We have four beautiful kids, three bodyguards and one princess, all athletes, every single one of them an athlete. I've coached them in every sport they've been a part of, I've coached them in it. I've seen my daughter step behind the line and make a three-pointer. Boom, easy. Seen Gail cross over in basketball. Seen Jordan make the jump shots. Seen Brandon travel to AAU. We're in Tennessee. Hold up a trophy. So those that know me, they know, you know, and this is a very appropriate lesson for me. You know my love for sports. But I tell you what, brethren, all four of our kids are faithful members of Lord's Church. So when I talk to a daddy or a single mom about, you're on the park every 4 days a week, but we don't see you at Bible study, I can talk about that. So my point is this. I'm thankful to God that they see their mom and dad as faithful members of the Lord's Church as well. They've seen us prioritize it. And now there's so many kids that have coached. Some are even at our home congregation. Think about Ricardo. He's a brother in Christ now. I fussed him on the basketball court. He's a brother in Christ. Think about Corey. I'm going to call the names. Officiated his wedding earlier this year. Brother in Christ, husband and father. It can be done. To Dan's point, we choose. We can overcome. It's a choice. And so as we close out, I want you to know this. Because I was like 90 seconds earlier last year. I didn't forget. I'm not going to add it, brother. I'm going to be proper decorum. But with the 90 seconds I have remaining, I want you to know that we're on the winning team, brother. We're on the winning team. Imagine whatever sport. You know, there's cars racing around Miami Gardens right about now. F1. People yelling, screaming from all over the world. Regardless of the sport, if you knew your team would win, would you have some zeal? Because you got bandwagon fans to put on a jersey after they win. You know, all this stuff. And if you knew your team was going to win, would you have a little more excitement and energy? Well, I'm here to tell you that we have victory in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 57. You know this scripture, but thanks be to God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But see, there's something we have to do. Paul, encouraging the church of Christ at Corinth, lets them know. Therefore, when you see therefore, know what it's there for. Paul's saying, but my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Not wishy-washy, not variable, be steadfast. Be consistent. The behavioral patterns of us doing God's will, holding to God's unchanging hand, preaching sound doctrine. There's a whole lot of folks trying to, you know, recruit the free agents of the denominational world. And I'm here to tell you that, you know what? No, that's not the team I want to be on. And the Church of Christ cannot look like, my time is up, Church of Christ cannot look like the world. Being peculiar means we're going to keep the uniform of sound doctrine, keep preaching it to the day we die. Not trying to be like the world. That's a JV squad. Not going to be crowned. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. But when Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor. Brethren, our labor is not in vain in the Lord.